Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the "no animals were harmed" message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Hi, welcome to the show. You know, I occasionally hear complaints about Apple Podcasts not updating the show whenever there's a new episode posted. And it's true. Sometimes the Apple Podcasts app is really, really slow to update. But here's the best solution if you've run into that problem. The Patreon app for your smartphone is the best way to stay up to date with new episodes. And it's the best way to listen. Every time there's a new show, you're going to get an automatic alert on your phone, notifications for the free shows on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, and notifications for the Friday after party and the postmortem shows, too. You can listen at home or in your car with a couple of swipes, and you can join our community of listeners in the comments under each episode. Subscribe for as little as $1 a month at BobSeskaShow.com or Patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. Then download the Patreon app from the App Store onto your phone, and that's it. It's as easy as that. Thank you for supporting this completely independent podcast, and now let the cartoons begin on your Patreon app.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska.
Hello, Seska. You're looking radiantly maternal.
The Bob Seska Show.
From our nation's capital, it is Tuesday, August 20th. You won't believe what Buzz and I were just talking about. You'll never, ever know. It is August 24th, 2021, and this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi, what's up? My name is Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hello. Day 217 of the Biden-Harris administration. 4 to 39 days until the 22 midterms. Find me on Instagram at TheBobSeska and on Twitter at BobSeska_go. And here's Buzz.
When you say Buzz Burbank,
you've said it all.
Hi.
Yes, that was a porn star in my car.
Yeah! That's what we were talking about before. See, you revealed all. And
well, perhaps we'll get to that later, but first the introductions. He's Bob, I'm Buzz, and we don't have an actual podcast today, but we are armed with podcast components.
Big there was scare. One right there.
Yeah, a big scare in Washington late last week. Al-Qaeda Skeeter, who hadn't heard the Civil War was over, parked outside the Library of Congress demanding to speak to the president.
Yeah.
He thought Biden was in the Library of Congress? It's like pulling up to McDonald's and ordering a large pepperoni. Sitting out there in his jacked up truck full of fertilizer, angry about his small penis. Hey. Don't you think?
Yes.
Hey, here's a little known fact about the Jeopardy scandal.
Oh, yeah.
Producer Mike Richards gave himself the hosting job just in time to give himself 2 weeks' notice.
Oh, what a dick.
And we're finding out now Mike Richards resigned from hosting Jeopardy so he can spend more time with his conscience.
He's got to find it first.
You got to give him, which square is it behind? You got to give him this. You gotta hand it to him on this one point. He did last longer than the Afghan government.
That is true, yes.
can put that in his resume. The FDA this week approved the Pfizer vaccine, and that is expected to prompt a lot of people to make up a new excuse.
They will, right?
Oh,
they already have.
Yeah, the FDA is already telling Trump supporters to stop taking horse dewormer fight the COVID.
Yeah.
Just say nay.
Always the best of the horse comedy here on the show.
Now, we're not through yet. Okay. No. Now, to make sure that Trump voters understand the FDA's directive about the dewormer, they're being asked to stomp their hooves.
The Bob Seska Show. Let's go spread now. Everybody's learning how. Come on, get infected with me. Come on, get infected with me.
Early in the morning, we'll be heading out. The virus will be coming along.
Oh, God.
We're loading up our woody, not a mask in sight. We won't be staying healthy too long. Come on, Corona baby, wait and see. I'm gonna ignore the CDC. Come on with me, baby, let's head to the sea. We'll start a second wave, wait and see.
Let's go spreading now, everybody's learning how. Come on, get infected with me. Come on, get infected with me.
Yeah, Rocky Mountain Mike. Rocky underscore Mountain underscore Mike on Instagram. Thank you, Mike. Holy shit.
Our musical director.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, my God. So where do we start? I guess we got to start to, we got to clarify what we were just talking about at the top of the show. Buzz driving around with porn stars in his car. I mean, look.
Random, as the long version of my jingle says, I like to reminisce. And I don't know why it came to me or what we were talking about, but I casually mentioned to Bob during the show that I knew a porn star, a former porn star. I don't know if she's still working or not.
Carmen Hart, if you want to look her up.
Yeah, that's the young woman. Actually, a lovely young lady, kind of a girl next door type.
Yes.
Who happened to become a sex worker.
That's right.
I'd been on some shows with her, and we finished the show, and she said, can you take me to a tanning place? This was years and years ago we all stopped going, but... I happen to know one, and I took her there. So, yes, there was a porn star in my car. You're
chauffeuring around all the porn stars. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what I did. Great
story, and it's the kind of thing that completely makes me jealous because, you know, I worked at a radio station for a while, and the only people listening were either 85 years old or older. Uh-huh. So it was like I had very little opportunity to be driving around, chauffeuring around porn stars because of my radio status. So I live vicariously through you and your porn star chauffeuring.
You had the Fox News audience sewn up, though.
That's true.
The great
Absolutely.
Thing.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. Well, you know what? Speaking of you, let's start out the show today with more buzz. Yeah, everyone wants more buzz.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, and we said this on Thursday, bears repeating. I want to get your insights into all of this. When you've lost Buzz Burbank, you've lost it all, as our friend Amy commented on Facebook the other day. You wrote this on Twitter and Facebook regarding the media coverage of Afghanistan. And you said, as a longtime media defender, it hurts to say this. The withdrawal from Afghanistan is not a failure. Most media coverage of it is. The criticism and skepticism being reported by the media is coming from the media.
Right.
Bingo.
And I put skepticism and criticism in quotes because those are the words I keep hearing in news reports. Oh, there's a lot of skepticism. There's a lot of criticism. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it's coming from you. I mean, and of course the Republicans, but and of course it's a messy withdrawal. And everyone should have known that it would be.
Yeah,
men and women who served over there knew that it would be. There's so many things to lay out here. First, you have Trump deciding to get us out of Afghanistan.
Right.
And so he makes his administration, Mike Pompeo, make a secret deal with the Taliban that we kind of know the essence of now, which is the result that we're seeing now.
It's appeasement. It was appeasement, is what it was.
In addition to that, Trump's racist advisor, Stephen Miller, pushed for and got a policy to actually make a difficult process of getting helpful Afghans into freedom and into the U.S.
Yeah.
He actually made that difficult process even more difficult.
Right.
Which is one of the problems we've run into since and why we're jammed with carrying all these people at once now. So a lot of the blame goes there. There are so many things to consider and so many positives to consider. Biden getting out 50,000 people in 8 days.
Yes.
That's pretty impressive. And the operation continues, and we'll talk about this more in detail, but will continue for about another week. With this many people, so many people rescued so far, it should also be pointed out that Americans there in Afghanistan, non-military, have known since April that this was going to happen.
Yeah.
That it was time for them to bug out, and they didn't. They waited till now. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't have any compassion for them. I'm not saying it's their fault necessarily, but they certainly have some responsibility here in waiting for the worst possible time to leave. The American military, except the ones we've sent back in, are out of there now. And so we're in the business now of rescuing as many Afghan helpers as we can in warlike conditions, under extremely difficult conditions.
Yes.
I would say things are going pretty well, all things considered.
Given the fact that we're dealing with the end of a failed war effort. Right. And this is what you expect in that kind of situation. Lars O'Donnell said it the other night, and I keep repeating this on the show because it was so spot on. What we're seeing now is the vision of war. What happened in those 36 hours a week and a half ago, that was a vision of war. And what's happening since then has been as orderly as it gets. As you said, 58,000 people have been evacuated since August 14th. It's increased the pace recently. About 21,000 people were evacuated in the past 24 hours. But in terms of what we're seeing on cable news, which is, I think, a lot of the concern trolling is happening in that format, that particular wing, that bastardized weird wing of the American news media. Because I think, and everyone talks about the liberal media in this country. That's the big fallacy, that the media is controlled by liberals. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The fact of the matter is that because of that meme and the success of that meme, and I'm not saying success in terms of being praiseworthy. I'm talking about the terrible success of that liberal media bias meme. What it has resulted in. And, you know, Chez and I used to have conversations about this all the time because he worked for CNN. He was a longtime television news guy. What this meme has done, it has made news directors, it has made executive producers, it has made hosts abundantly self-aware about seeming too favorable to liberalism or too favorable to the Democrats. So when something happens that's bad for a Democrat, they overcompensate. Overcompensation here is the name of the game. The reason this is happening
that
is because, cable news outlets like CNN, for example, certain day parts on MSNBC, they're overcompensating for that liberal media bias accusation. So, oh my God, Joe Biden's done something wrong, although it's not really all that terrible. Well, we've got to jump on it. We got to really emphasize the fact that Joe Biden fucked all this up. And what that'll do is that'll show all those conservatives that we really don't have a liberal media bias. But it's still a bias. It's like the illustration of an actual bias, right?
It would seem so. And if you show me a journalist on MSNBC who's afraid of leaning left, I'll show you one who shouldn't be on MSNBC. I think Lawrence is gunning for Rachel's time slot since she is staying with MSNBC.
Yeah.
But probably won't be occupying that. And you know what? He's showing that he deserves it. He's showing that he earns it. It was going to be, I think, ultimately between him and Chris Hayes. And Chris Hayes, as much as many people love him, not thick enough. And I think Lawrence has a bigger following, so it'll be interesting to see where that goes. All of that is a sidebar. I have been baffled about why the media is behaving as it is. I think you and Lawrence have zeroed in on it. My thought was similar to that, and it's just that, you know, they're still stuck on that giving both sides thing. And that was fine when there were two legitimate sides.
Right.
Now there's only one.
Yeah.
There's pro-democracy and anti-democracy.
Mm-hmm.
There's pro-public health and anti-public health.
Yeah.
And so the game has changed, and I think the rules of the game need to change as well.
It's the stakes right now that I think are being forgotten in all of this, the broader context of these events and the reporting about these events, because if you're undermining the Biden administration and the Democrats for the purpose of emphasizing a fallacious meme coming from Red Hat Republicans, then you're tempting a takeover by those Red Hat Republicans. And what we know is if those guys are able to get a foothold back in government at the federal level, especially whether it's the White House, Congress, or both, they're not leaving. I think we really need to remember what the stakes of the broader politics of our country, that happens to be right now.
And to be fair, there are Democrats in government who I think underestimate the stakes here.
Yeah, yeah.
There are moderate Democrats resisting the infrastructure, the human infrastructure bill, who I don't think realize the stakes here, who oppose, are holding out for the filibuster over voting rights.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, they do not understand the stakes here. So there's a lot of this going around in government and in journalism.
Yeah. And so it's irresponsible reporting on many, many levels if you're overemphasizing. And look, I mean, there are things to criticize any administration about. Make no mistake. And it is part of the job of the news media to hold our leadership accountable for things.
Right.
Whether that accountability means not saying anything at all or deeply criticizing. It depends on what the thing is.
That doesn't mean creating a problem. First 36 hours of the evacuation were in fact chaotic, could be expected.
Mm-hmm.
Since then, it's been orderly and efficient. And what do we see? We see about planes taking off with empty seats, which is, I don't think, as much happened at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I would feel better about this kind of accountability if I felt as if it were genuine. But I feel like on a couple of fronts, obviously, the reaction to the liberal media bias thing, plus, cable loves the ratings. Make no mistake, when there's a war, when there is strife overseas and it involves Americans, that is a ratings bonanza for the television people.
But even MSNBC is paying the price for it. Not only have I never seen this many people rise up against mainstream media before, I've never seen this kind of behavior from mainstream media before.
Yeah.
And that tells me that the outrage is righteous.
Yeah, absolutely. And so as a consequence, what we see now is Joe Biden's approval ratings are taking a downward turn. I mean, in a big way. The polls that came out prior to the weekend, the NBC News poll, Biden job approval among all adults, 49%. It was 53% in April. Biden disapproval, 48%. Was 39% back in April. Biden approval among registered voters, 50%. It was 51% in April. Biden disapproval, 48%. This is among all registered voters, 48%, was 43%. And so, but that was before the weekend. Now, there are new numbers from USA Today showing Biden's approval down to 41%. Mm. And so what this is a direct consequence of the reporting on Afghanistan.
Oh, yeah, that's the other thing I've seen. And I agree with this as well. The media reports that the evacuation is chaos.
Yeah.
The media then conducts a poll asking people, do you think that the evacuation is chaos? And surprise, after all those media reports, a majority of the public says yes.
Oh, yeah.
And then the media reports, hey, look at this. We were right. America thinks that the pullout was chaotic.
Yeah.
Because you created that scenario.
Right.
They're almost making this up. I've never seen anything like it.
And also, there's a peer pressure among the D.C. media elites where, they used to call it the cocktail circuit back in the day. I don't know if they still use that term. But the fact is that if you're not saying, Joe Biden owns this now, if you're not saying that, your colleagues may not take you seriously. And that's the attitude that I think a lot of people in, especially cable news, and we do limit our criticism of the press a lot of times to cable news, deservingly or undeservingly so, as the case may be. But when it comes to cable news people, you can imagine in your head during like the commercial break on Morning Joe or something like that.
Right.
You know, someone saying, well, you know, maybe we shouldn't be so hard on Biden. Oh, wait a minute. No, no, Biden owns this. You better say Biden owns this. That's the pressure that I think a lot of people get whose job it is to go on cable news and be a political analyst or things like that. I mean, there's a seriousness. We used to call it in the blogosphere 1.0, we used to say very serious news media people or very serious politicians. We used to use the very serious meme to emphasize the fact that these people take themselves very, very seriously. And the only real opinions come from the very serious people. And that's obviously a fallacy, but that's the way it is.
About the polls, I want to see more than one poll. I want to see more than just the USA Today poll. Oh, this breaking news just in. I'm sorry. I got distracted by this, and you know, people are going to be talking about this.
Okay, sure.
Rolling Stones drummer Charlie Watts has died at the age of 80.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Wow. You know what? Man, I was just hearing that he had decided not to tour with the band.
Right.
I think they were planning some sort of tour and that he was going to pull out of that, I guess, because he was sick. Yeah. What a shame. Yeah. What a shame. Yeah. He was
very sad.
Yeah. Charlie Watts, one of the legendary drummers, partly for his unobtrusive drumming, where he would just hold down that beat. But make no mistake, Charlie Watts was an incredible drummer. He just exercised a lot of restraint. Wow. And in fact, his first love was always jazz. He preferred jazz to rock and roll. And he could excel at jazz drumming. I mean, just because he's playing a simple, you know, 4-4 beat, you know, on the downbeat and so on, whatever Rolling Stones song. Yeah, it doesn't mean he was a shitty drummer. It just means he had the integrity to show some restraint in playing.
He was the heartbeat of the band. That's absolutely. Very sad. I'm sorry to have gotten off track, but I have not forgotten the point I wanted to make. We were talking about polls, and but Joe Biden did a very brave thing here because he knew he knew going into this that he would take a hit in the polls.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? He decided to take that chance.
Yeah.
And not just because it was the right thing to do, but because Joe thinks he can recover from this. And I think he's right.
Me too.
I think he has gambled and will in the long run win, despite all these phrases of stain on his legacy.
Yeah.
I don't know that Joe Biden will be remembered that way. You know, it'll be maybe a negative footnote. I don't know how history will record it, but overall, I don't think it is a stain on his legacy. He knew he could turn this around, and I think we need to continue to believe in him because he believes in himself.
Yeah.
And that's half the battle. Talking about the media and their emphasis on the bad and, you know, the chaotic aspects of the evacuation. I'm a regular viewer of World News Tonight with David Muir because it is the most watched evening newscast.
Yeah.
And so I want to see what most people are seeing so I have an idea of what they're being exposed to. And I remember talking about this in our discussions of coronavirus and the vaccines. Let's say one day we hear there's a flaw, a possible flaw for some people on the J&J vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, World News Tonight and others make that their lead. They lead with that. And then later, like 3-5 minutes into the newscast, then they tell you the rest of the story, which is the amazing progress that was being made. Same thing here. Same thing here on Afghanistan. They lead with the chaos. And I mentioned, by the way, we got 58,000 people out.
You know? Yeah, right.
You know, and that's buried. And people don't hear that. They remember the scary stuff that if it bleeds, it leads.
That's right.
That's what they remember. That's what they carry with them. And that's got to be repaired.
Yeah, there's this whole thing, and it happens certainly a lot when it comes to the Red Hat Entertainment Complex, where they'll mention something that's horrible, And then that truth, quote unquote truth, will circulate the globe several times, and then they'll have the retraction later or the clarifying information later. But the lie, the horrible news, in this case, on a legitimate nightly news network newscast, that lie or that horrible news at the top is the part that sticks because it's first. And that's what people remember first. Right. You do a series, if you list off a series of numbers to someone, they're always going to remember the first number you mention or the last number you mention. But the in-between numbers, no, they're not going to remember that. The crappy information, that's what sticks in everyone's heads. And no matter what you say later, the predominant bit of information is going to be that first chunk, which you know, in this case is just horrible news about the vaccines or whatever.
I don't know if they still teach the inverted triangle in journalism school, but that was sort of how I was brought up. And what I remember being taught was you put the most important thing first.
Right.
The most important thing is a few people being having adverse reactions to a Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Is that the biggest thing, or is that the scariest thing?
Yeah, yeah.
You see, and over time, that's become perverted. Instead of the most important fact that Americans need to know at the top of that story, they're putting the scariest, most sensational thing, again, to sell commercials and newspapers.
Oh, yeah. At a time, too, when, as you know, Buzz, the competition for media, and this includes all media, whether we're talking about cable news shows, streaming, podcasting even, there's so much competition for everyone's time that my deep concern is that that is going to create, and we've seen lots of examples of it, from clickbait to the phenomenon that you're talking about with regard to COVID or Afghanistan or whatever, where the drive to capture people's attention is going to shit all over the truth. Because sometimes the truth is boring. Sometimes reality is boring. And if you're putting boring out there, people are going to turn off the boring and go watch the exciting, wherever that may be. And there are thousands of choices for that.
And yet, over this past week, I have seen multiple posts from multiple people saying they longed for someone like Walter Cronkite. They longed for someone who would just read them the news and not try to put a right spin or a left spin on it. And, you know, this spun out of control with Reagan dropping the fairness doctrine and then the creation of 24/7 cable news channels where they need to fill 24 hours of television programming. So it became the land of talking heads instead of news. And it's gotten more and more perverted over time.
Yeah, yeah. And I think there's a conversation to be had with regard to the fairness doctrine. And we need to be clear about what would be encompassed under a return of the fairness doctrine, or the just
modern,
or lawsuits based on the idea of using public airwaves to defraud the public, and obviously this is something that excludes, for example, cable news networks because they're not using public airwaves.
It's been proposed that change that it should include them in the modern version.
Right, right. I mean, the thing that I would need to see is how that would be justified from a public point of view, because with the airwaves, we all own the air. And if you're using that air that we all own to defraud us using our own air that we collectively own, the commons, as Tom Hartman calls it, then you're doing something that should be against the law. And that's where the fairness doctrine came in. I mean, we mentioned this the other day on the show, the congressional investigations against the 21 game show, immortalized in the movie 21. Quiz Show. Yeah, yeah. And how that, and the reason why Congress could justify investigating the game shows, well, I guess back in the 50s or whatever it was.
Ah, simpler time.
Yeah. Well, it was because it was in the public interest, because the game shows were being broadcast on the public airway.
Of course, but look how our targets for change have changed since then.
Yeah, that's true. Right, right. Well, and there are some public venues that are being used to defraud the public, and I'm talking about public airwaves. I'm talking Fox. About... Yeah, I'm talking about some of the red hat talkers on AM radio. They're still using the public airwaves. Alex Jones, we're going to be talking about Alex Jones here in today's show a little later on.
Oh, goody.
Yeah, your favorite. And but yeah, I mean, he's defrauding the public. He is harming the public using the public airwaves. So if there was some return of a fairness doctrine, target number one would have to be some of these fraudsters on AM radio.
That's the thing. Fairness doctrine indicates or implies equal time to responsible parties. Fraud would not be allowed under my new fairness doctrine. Yeah, lies, con jobs, that sort of outrageous, easily disproven stuff would just never make the airwaves.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, and it gets into a gray area with the internet and things like that. But the bottom line is that there are people who have zero integrity, who are only out to make as much money as they possibly can on the backs of people that they're actually communicating with. They're actually harming their own people, especially with the COVID disinformation and so on. They're harming their own people while using and exploiting the air owned by those people. And it's a goddamn tragedy because it's not just affecting them personally. It's affecting everyone they know. And even more importantly, when it comes to the pandemic, people they don't know. I mean, that's the thing that gets lost in this discussion. It's not just, well, you're going to get COVID and you're going to be sick or you could potentially die. And also the people around you could potentially get sick and they could potentially die. The real fuck of it is all those people that you don't know and have no connection to, who you end up infecting. I mean, think about that. Through your personal irresponsibility, you're infecting all of these other complete strangers who have no connection to you whatsoever. To me, that's almost worse than infecting the people who are close to you.
And almost to a man and almost to a woman, you will find those individuals speaking only of themselves. They say, well, I'm going to be fine. My immune system's strong. I'm young. I'm going to be okay. And, of course, we're seeing more and more young people in hospitals now.
Yeah.
But they don't think of others. And you've seen this phenomenon for years, now decades perhaps, people walking in front of you. Unaware, and then they stop suddenly.
Yeah.
And you have to like stop and go around them or whatever because they didn't bother to look back. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I look over my shoulder to make sure nobody's going to slam into me, whether I'm walking or in my car, because I realize there are others out there. And we have a population of people who never consider others. They've forgotten about others. And it brings us back, by the way, to this ongoing argument between conservatives and liberals over the collective good versus the individual good.
That's right. That's right. And it's the collective good that's getting lost in all of this. And so we're now obviously segued over to discussing COVID. So I want to talk about here in just a second. Okay, we got to talk about Phil Valentine, the latest shirker / anti-vaxxer / COVID denier, etc., who has succumbed to COVID. We're going to talk about that here in just a second. Plus, oh my God, ivermectin is the name of the horse dewormer.
Yeah.
We're
going
to talk about that one too.
We will.
And how the FDA is swinging back at that one, that's for sure.
You know, the upside of that is Trump supporters no longer have worms.
Back with more show right after this.
Is this you every morning? Oh, I wish these bags under my eyes would just go away. If that's you, you're not alone. Bags and puffiness under the eyes are a problem for millions of American men and women until now. Introducing the new Genucel Serum with plant stem cell technology from Chamonix. This is new and it is fantastic. Susan from New Jersey wrote me, I've been using Genucel for a couple of months. The puffiness around my eyes is gone. Even the crow's feet and small lines have disappeared and haven't come back. I love your product. I use it under my eyes, around my cheekbones, and on my eyelids. Not only Susan, folks, I use it and I love it. I use the entire line. I love the daytime, nighttime, neck, face cream. They have an amazing line of products. And with its instant effects, you'll see results in the first 12 hours or your money back. I guarantee it. Order now. Get 50% off all Genucel packages for summer. Go to lovegenucel.com/Stephanie. That's lovegenucel.com/Stephanie. That's lovegenucel.com/Stephanie.
The Bob Seska Show. Summer music.
Pow, pow, power.
Full of danger and
feeling like a stranger when you say goodbye to someone love. I remember I've got some
pennies in my pocket, got holes in my pants, white shoes, denim blues, I just wanna dance. Pennies in my pocket, got holes in my pants, white shoes, denim blues, I just wanna dance. I'm spinning on this axis, paying taxes, taking classes, I stare into the blackness.
Yeah, from Philadelphia, it is Wallace. W-A-L-L-I-S. Remember her name, Wallace. Wallace Shriver and her sisters. I think Wallace is, holy God, 16. 16 years old. And her sisters singing along here on the song are, I think, 10 and 13.
No.
Yeah.
No way.
Yes.
That's amazing. I love this. I love this song. I love their sound.
Incredible.
I love the Wallace.
Yeah. Oh, my God. She is going to be, I mean, we have so many indie bands here on the show that will one day be collecting all of the Grammys.
And hopefully you'll remember you heard them from Bob first.
Exactly right. So if you want to be one of the cool kids, you want to be one of the cool kids who says, hey, you know what? I was a fan of Wallace way back when she was being played on the Bob Seska Show podcast. And so now I'm one of the cool kids because I was way ahead of the curve on this one. And she is going to be Wallace Shriver. Holy shit. Wallace Shriver and the Shriver Sisters. IamWallace.com. Link in the description, of course. And we're coming up to the end. We're coming up to the end of our list of our favorite songs of the summer, culminating Labor Day weekend with the Songs of the Summer Indie Music Countdown. So watch for that soon. Okay. Getting back into things here, I wanted to mention real quick before we dig back into COVID, the Taliban is blocking the road to the airport currently.
Right. They have announced, the Taliban's announced that people, Afghans, should not try to get to the airport at this point.
Yeah.
And simultaneous to that announcement, following a secret meeting between the current CIA director and the Taliban, the Taliban is refusing to extend the August 31st deadline. So. Yeah. Unless we want to continue the war that the president's decided we will not continue, we have to be out of there by a week from today.
Something tells me that Joe Biden's going to continue to evacuate people after August 31st.
Maybe, certainly. There are sneaky, cool things we can do. I love this whole idea of arranging a secret meeting place, having an American helicopter land there and pick them up before the Taliban even knows what's going on.
Yeah.
It's risky, but it may very well be worth the risk to continue to save, in addition to the 58,000 people we've taken out already, continue to save especially Afghanis who helped the U.S. military in all kinds of ways, whether they served as informants or protectors or, you know, checked for IEDs or maybe they were just cooks or part of the cleaning crew. They helped our American soldiers. Our American soldiers want to get those people out of there.
And so this is obviously a changing and shifting and tense situation. What we don't want to do is overreact. And that's what's been happening. The knee-jerk overreaction on cable news. That's completely unsurprising. I think, you know what? Ultimately, in the end, as we were saying before, it's going to turn out well for Joe Biden, I think.
Yeah. In the meantime, let's tune in World News Tonight to see how they handle today's news.
That's right. That's right.
We did have a great day of news yesterday. I don't know if you saw the thing I put. Yeah, you did see the thing I posted.
Yeah, yeah.
I said a pretty good little Monday. Mm-hmm. Let me see if I can pull this up here because it's worth mentioning.
Yeah.
This is the, you know, not all the news is bad, kids. This is from yesterday. And this is in addition to the following headlines, in addition to FDA approval of the COVID vaccine, which we're just about to talk about. One item, the leader of the far right, Proud Boys, is sentenced to more than 5 months in jail for burning a Black Lives Matter banner and a DC weapons violation. There's one.
Good.
That's actually two after the Pfizer vaccine. Number three, the House committee investigating the Capitol riot plans to request phone records, including from members of Congress.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
excellent.
Kathy Hochul, who became New York's first female governor at midnight, selected two women to fill her top administrative post.
Great.
And the Capitol police officer who fatally shot Ashley Babbitt during the insurrection acted lawfully, according to police.
Excellent.
And so it was a day full of good news. So. Yeah. I just have to encourage, and as things continue to be bleak in so many ways, encourage our progressive friends to remember the good things and embrace the good things that are happening. And yeah, I do think that Biden will be well remembered, even if there is, you know, even if somehow a stain is imposed on his presidency mm-hmm. by the way the evacuation was. I think he'll be vindicated mostly.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't think this is what his administration will be remembered for, especially considering the accomplishments so far.
Well, I appreciate you bringing up all the bits of good news for the past couple of days. And the reason being is, you know, we've been watching Ted Lasso, which is like America's favorite television series, and for great reason.
Yes.
One of the things that it is doing, and those of you who watch it know full well what this is, but I think, or at least I'm hoping, that there is a Ted Lasso effect. I hope the empathy, hopefulness, optimism of that show is as viral as it, and contagious as COVID is. I hope that this is something. The overall effect of the beloved nature of this show begins to seep into our mindset. And I've been thinking about this in terms of what we do here. Now, granted, we are who we are. I have my own personality. You have your own personality, Buzz. Certainly, Savage David and Jody and Kimberly. And we all have our own views and our own attitudes about the news. So that we have to be true to ourselves. But in the same time, I think it doesn't hurt to occasionally bring up some hopeful news. And I think that is maybe how we will perpetuate the Ted Lasso effect.
I remember speaking on this show a year or two ago, vexed I was, Bob, about why America was plunging into so much dark entertainment.
Yeah.
Because the world around us under Trump was getting darker and darker and darker. Mm-hmm. As I watched American tastes gravitate toward darker and darker material.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think Ted Lasso, to see again how many people have embraced Ted Lasso, it's clearly what we needed.
Oh yeah.
It is the medicine we need. And I, you know, maybe we've sold some Apple Plus subscriptions here, but it's at what is it, like $5 a month? It's
nothing.
Worth it. Yeah. It's worth it. Yeah. And there's another good show on there, Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Mr. Corman.
Yeah. Morning show too. The morning show.
Yeah. Yeah. The morning show is great also. So yeah, you can justify that, that small expense if for no other reason than Ted Lasso, which I think we agree is just the medicine we needed now. I've also been watching since I never watched it the first time around because, you know, it was on the USA Network. I didn't take seriously. But I've gone back. There were 8 seasons of Monk. I'd never seen the series before. So if you're looking for something else that's sort of positive, sort of light, more innocent, I would highly recommend that series. If you haven't seen it, or go back and see it again. I'm in season, I'm about to start season 4, I think, out of 8, you know, so there's a lot of material there, but it's also gentle enough for this time that we need that kind of material. But yeah, we highly recommend Ted Lasso.
The last time I felt about a show that I feel about Ted Lasso was The West Wing, where you get to those end credits and the big sweeping theme song comes in and the culminating scene has occurred. That wave of wow just kind of floods over you. And that's the way it is with Ted Lasso. You get through, and it's a different kind of show, but that feeling is very, very similar. That feeling of exuberance and relief and hopefulness. And it's just a good feeling. It's just like you should have a good feeling when you're done watching a certain kind of show. And Ted Lasso delivers that good feeling in the way that The West Wing also delivered. And I think it could have a positive effect on our society, and just when it's needed most.
Yeah, it's the medicine we need. It makes me feel better, and I know it makes many other people. I don't know how noticed it was the first year. I mean, it had its fans and its following.
Yeah.
I watched the first episode, and I wasn't hooked. And so I stopped watching it. And then, many months passed, and it got a gazillion Emmy nominations. And by that point, And since that point, people have been talking about it incessantly. And so as soon as that began, I well, maybe I better give this another chance. Right. Back to the beginning.
Yeah, me too.
And what, I'm caught up now. New episode, what, this Friday, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm totally hooked. So if the first episode doesn't catch you, this is my point,
yeah,
stay with it, because there's no way you can't hate this show.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And again, the overall point of this is if we all in some way can perpetuate the attitude and the point of Ted Lasso,
kindness, I think we're going to... Positivity.
Kindness, yes. Positivity, exactly. Hopefulness. This yes. is all something that would have a beneficial effect overall. If we can just... I mean, we don't have to change who we are. We don't have to act like Ted Lasso all the time. We can be ourselves, but I think it always helps to insert some of that hopefulness and find some way to look at the positive side of things, yes. be it as they may. And
it's also, I think, about the determination to try, even when the odds against you are overwhelming.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's a very exciting concept for us to embrace.
You know, I was having a conversation. I had lunch with my mom on Monday, and of course we were outside, distanced, when I would go inside to use the bathroom, wear a mask. It was the first time I had met up right. with my mom since my birthday, but I found myself just inadvertently saying things that I probably shouldn't say to, you know, close family and friends out loud, because yeah. everyone looks to me, my friends and family, they kind of look to me like, oh, let's get Bob's barometer on the events of the day, COVID huh. or the insurrection yeah. or Trump or whatever. And so we're having this conversation. And of course, it leads back to COVID. This just rolled out of my mouth. This was not anything I had planned to say to my mother, for God's sake. Right. But we're talking about COVID. And I said, you know what? Eventually, there's going to have to be a vaccine mandate. And I'll tell you why. Because without it, society is going to break down. I'm like, oh, my God, did I just say that to my mom? She's going to be like, oh, shit. Now, what's the point of anything now? Because society, Bob says society is going to break down if there's not a vaccine mandate. And you know what? It was my honest reaction to, obviously, the topics that we were discussing. And so that's the negative space. That is the dark side of my brain that has burst forth on many occasions here on the show.
I don't know if it's the vaccine that is the source of the breakdown or the overall disconnect from facts and reality.
Yeah.
Not just on vaccines and medicine and science, but on government and a lot of other things. So those things will lead to the collapse of society. But, you know, I think it's okay to say stuff like that. I'm sure it cheered up your mom.
Yes, I'm sure. She loved it, biting into her, you know, crab meat sandwich or whatever
it was. But this is the encouraging thing about the FDA approval.
Yeah.
It's expected to, of the what is it, 90 million Americans still not vaccinated? I don't know. Of the eligible people, I don't remember mm-hmm. what the number is. 20 to 25% of them, definitely 20% of them, are expected now with FDA approval yeah. to get the vaccine. Now, that's only 20%, but that's a lot of people, and mm-hmm. that's going to help. 71% of people over the age of 12 in this country have been vaccinated now. Yeah. 71%. Medicine will be really happy if we can get that up to 75 would be good, especially for both shots. Mm-hmm. We get up to 75, that's pretty good right
yeah.
there.
Oh, yeah.
We get up to 80, that's better. 85, even better. 95, probably not going to happen, but a scientist can dream.
Mm-hmm.
But the great thing about the vaccine approval is not even so much that as it is, it clears the way for mandates. Immediately, New York City told its 140,000 employees of the education department there in the city that they have to get vaccinated, and soon. And there is no opt-out where they can get weekly tested instead. No, it's the vaccine or take a hike, get a cab, you're out of here. Same with the military, which mandates sometimes well over a dozen vaccines for individual troops, especially if they're headed overseas. This is going to be added to the list because the military had said it would start vaccinations mandatory on September 15th or with FDA approval, whichever came first, within an hour
yeah.
of the FDA approval, the Pentagon ordered all troops to be vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
More and more, this clears the way for mandates, and more employers are going to start requiring this. more theaters and restaurants are going to start banning people who are not vaccinated. This is where we begin to, the thing I called for weeks ago, lock them out.
Yeah, exactly.
They have no right to keep us in our homes.
Mm-hmm. And you don't have to be a futurist to foresee the fact that our society, this is kind of what I meant when I said that to my mom, that our society cannot continue to exist or flourish or anything else if we are living with COVID and worsening variants for a decade or more or whatever it ends up being.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I was getting at. So consequently, I think it's going to get to the point where whether it's businesses, whether it's government, whether it's state government, they're eventually going to have to say, look, for the betterment of society, to at the very least preserve the existence of our society, you have to get vaccinated. And that's what it's all going to come down to, that. Because meantime, you've got guys like this radio guy, Phil Valentine.
Right.
Who...
he's our corpse of the week, by the way.
Yes, exactly. And you know the headline format is, name of Red Hat plus way that Red Hat disproved the existence of COVID or shirked the vaccine or shirked the mask wearing, comma, dies of COVID.
Right.
And that's the thing, that's the headline that we've been seeing over and over again. The latest example of that is Phil Valentine, who was, I think at the very least, he was on the radio in Tennessee, and I think he may have also been nationally syndicated. I'm not exactly sure about that.
I think we figured it out. COVID is not the thinning of the herd. This is the thinning of the herd.
That's right.
It's denial.
It's denial, and then it's irony. Because here's something that he said, or actually he tweeted this not too long ago. He said, quote, I have a very low risk of A, getting COVID, and B, dying of it if I do. Why would I risk getting a heart attack or paralysis by getting the vaccine?
Wah,
wah. Wah, wah. Yeah. And that's Phil Valentine.
He's dead.
Then fast forward to August 21st when we see the announcement from his radio station. We are saddened to report that our host and friend Phil Valentine has passed away. Please keep the Valentine family in your thoughts and prayers.
Drop us a line. Let us know who you think the corpse of the week will be next week.
We'll
pick it up from there.
Well, you know, it's funny. Marsha Blackburn said this, Tennessee senator. She said, Phil Valentine was a visionary for the conservative movement, and he made an enormous impact on the lives of many Tennesseans. You know how he made an enormous impact on the lives of many Tennesseans? He and his anti-vaxxer, anti-masker agitprop very likely saddled hundreds of Tennesseans with COVID and all of the debt from the hospitalizations, too.
He told them what their contrarian asses wanted to hear.
Yeah.
And you can go back and ask those people directly now. I've seen this done.
Mm-hmm.
You go back and ask those people, well, now that Phil has died, are you going to get the vaccine?
Yeah.
And they still say no.
Right, right.
And this brings us to kind of another side topic, if I may. Trump recommended mildly to his crowd the other night that they get vaccine, and he got booed for it.
Yeah.
Was it Mo Brooks or somebody got up and said, you need to put the election, the 2020 election behind you and look forward instead. He got booed. What did these guys learn that night? What did Trump and Mo Brooks learn? They learned that the monster they had created was now beyond their control.
Yeah.
Dr. Frankenstein could no longer control his monster, and the Dr. Frankensteins can no longer control the monster they have created. It is beyond them now.
Yeah, and you could see in real time Donald Trump really applying his toxic populism to the reaction that he received at that rally.
Yes.
Because initially it was like, oh, you get vaccinated, I got vaccinated, you got to get that, I got it, I got the vaccine, it works fine, I'll tell you if it doesn't work. And they all start booing him, and then suddenly he goes, yeah, but you also have your freedoms. The reason Donald Trump, and one of the many reasons Donald Trump is such a threat, is because he has no core values, and instead what he does is he merely parrots whatever his crazy fucking red hats want him to say. And that is the populism that makes him so dangerous, because, you know, what you definitely don't want is a president who follows the whimsy of these mouth-breathing yokels who have no sense of reality or facts or any ability whatsoever to digest information. And Donald Trump is repeating the whimsy of these people. It's just, it's madness. But that's exactly what he did. And on top of the reaction by the crowd, Donald Trump has lost Alex Jones on this front. Alex Jones let Trump have it for saying you should take the vaccine.
Of course.
So the upshot, and I'll just cut to the chase. We're going to play this clip from Alex Jones here. The upshot is that Donald Trump will never again say take the vaccine. Because because he's got to say whatever his people want him to say.
It was a trial balloon, and Trump is famous for this, floating trial balloons. He did it during the campaign, and somebody would build the wall, lock her up, whatever. Yeah. He would try things out to see what caught on and what didn't. It was very much about, very transparently about populism.
Yeah, that's right. Well, we're going to take one last break. When we come back, we're going to play this clip of Alex Jones calling Donald Trump a dumbass. This is a little bit historic, I think, the fact that, Alex Jones is deeply confused by Donald Trump's little brief moment of honesty there. And so we're going to play that in just a second.
He's confused by tying his shoes.
Exactly. More show right after this.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius bath and body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
Bob Seska.
Richard Turgeon right here. Goodbye to summer. Yeah, the best time to play this song is right around this time. August 24th. Kids are going back to school. Yeah. Goodbye to summer. RichardTurgeon.bandcamp.com. Link in the description at BobSeska.com. Just go to this episode at BobSeska.com, and we've got all the songs we played here linked so you can support all of our independent bands. So thank you for doing that. Okay, getting back into things here. Alex Jones flipped his shit on Donald Trump. I love this so much. When they start to eat their own, when they turn into their own little red hat Ouroboros, it's really, really entertaining.
Another sign he's lost control of the monster.
Exactly right. And this is the sound of the monster. I don't know what that is. But here's Alex Jones talking about Donald Trump. In fact, not just talking about Donald Trump, but calling Donald Trump a dumbass. Here we go.
Let's take President Trump, who I believe is a good person, and who I really care about, and who I want to see get a lot of good Republicans elected in the midterms, and who I would love to see run again. We got to take him to the woodshed, though, because he came out last week on Fox and Friends and said, I really am suspicious of this booster shot. If this supposedly works so well, why do I need a booster shot? Because you got lied to, Trump. It didn't have 98% efficacy. We knew day one it wouldn't work, period. It's a fraud. It'll create.
Yeah, just to be clear, everything that Alex Jones is saying is a lie. I don't think I need to emphasize that, but that's just the case.
It's worth pointing out.
To be sure, yeah.
Mutants, you got chumped. You got signed on to a fraud to restart the economy. I understand why you did it. You believe in science. Except these are bad actors, sir. You believed America could produce a good vaccine. Of course they could have. They didn't want to. They didn't create a vaccine. They created a Frankenshot.
A Frankenshot. That's what the vaccine is. It's a Frankenshot.
Sure.
And it's going to turn you into a mutant.
Maybe he has a fever.
Well, yeah. Listen to the sound of his voice. Sounds like he's got all the COVID. Sounds like Alex Jones has every single variant. in his throat right now.
He's the mutant, and that's why the virus won't take hold in him.
Now the left's saying you better get out there and push it, and you are. CNN comes out and says, we need to see Trump come out, Trump will take the shots. And within weeks of them saying it over and over again, CNN snaps their fingers. Jeff Zucker snaps his fingers and Trump clicks his heels and hops up there at attention and says, how high do you want me to jump,
Bob? I love this. Okay, so now Donald Trump is an ally of CNN and vice versa. That's the line that Alex Jones is suckers.
And maybe Alex Trump knows that Trump hates that, hates being associated with CNN, and he's trolling him in that way.
Maybe so.
To try to control him.
And by the way, who is Alex Jones even talking to? The last time I heard, Alex Jones was entirely deplatformed. I guess he's still on the radio.
Who's he talking to? And how does he make his voice do that?
No. Well, I think it's the throat polyps, Buzz. I think what it is it got lots of nodules down in there, and I think some laser surgery might be in order for Alex Jones. You just get that shit cleared out. Just go in there with a big hot laser and just zap it right out. It's part of his branding now.
There's Trump in Alabama yesterday.
Oh, here we go.
I recommend take the vaccines. I did it. It's good. Take the vaccines. But that's okay. That's all right.
There's the booing.
You got your freedoms.
You got your freedoms.
But I happen to take the vaccine.
I take the vaccine.
If it doesn't work, you'll be the first to know.
That's the cutesy voice. Donald Trump talks in a cutesy voice once in a while when he's not really serious. It goes like this.
Let's lift that quote. Take the vaccine. Mm. If it doesn't work, you'll be the first to know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's reassuring. As such a leader.
God damn it. Oh, my God. Millions of people are hearing this. Millions of people are hearing it. Yeah.
And eating it up with a spoon.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. I'll call up Alabama and say, hey, you know what? But it is working.
No.
BS. Trump, that's a lie. You're not stupid.
Yeah.
Just 2 weeks ago, they said it was 65%, then 40%. Saw a number put out by about Pfizer shots, 30-something percent.
He just saw a number. He's just reading numbers. He's looking around the room and saying things that he sees, like, I love lamp.
Spewing lies.
Yes.
Because they just want to tell you it doesn't work, so you're running at the new damn shot. And then they'll tell you in 6 months that one doesn't work. It's called rope-a-dope.
No, it's not.
Shame on you, Trump. Seriously. Hey, if you don't have the good sense to save yourself and your political career, that's okay. At least you're going to get some good Republicans elected. And, you know, we like you. But, my God, maybe you're not that bright. Maybe Trump's actually a dumbass. All right, we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Wow. Maybe Trump's actually a dumbass.
I like his go-to-break music.
Yeah, it was great. What was that? It was like some music from Twin Peaks or something. I don't know.
No, it was a hit song at one time. I'm trying to place it, but it's definitely familiar.
So Trump is a dumbass, but they should support him anyway. That's the key. There's something very important about that last little chunk, and I think a lot of Trump supporters feel the same way. Like, shit, you know, he's a dumbass, and he doesn't know anything, and he's a terrible human being. But he's our terrible human being. Bring it on. Let's have more of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're finding it harder and harder to justify their positions. They're finding it harder to figure out what their positions are.
Yeah.
I still love the bits that Jason Klepper does on The Daily Show.
Oh, yeah.
Where he goes out and he talks to stupid people. And they're so easy to find.
Yes.
And he will challenge their thinking, and you'll see them just get stumped and confused because they have no answer. Mm-hmm. But then they revert back to their stubbornness.
Yeah. There's a brand new one that's out. Yes. I think it's on YouTube right now. And he talks to this one guy who's the founder of whatever New York chapter of the Young Republicans or something
Vice President. He talks to, instead of going to the middle of a wheat field to talk to Trumpers, he just stops people in New York or goes to a protest outside the mayor's house about his mask mandate, vaccination mandates for restaurants, gyms, and theaters. And they're outside the mayor's house protesting that. So Jason Klepper approaches and challenges. It's wonderful to watch because he actually stumps multiple people multiple times, including that vice president of the African-American vice president of New York City's Young Republicans Club.
Wow. Yeah. And this guy says, the founding fathers would hate all of these vaccine mandates. And Jordan Klepper goes, well, George Washington did a vaccine mandate with smallpox. Yes. And he's like, I don't know what to say to that.
They're flummoxed. It's easy to break up their attempt at logic. But in the end, out of frustration, they revert back to their position stubbornly.
Yeah, yeah. The guy, I think the guy, the young Republican guy, made this noise. I think he was so flummoxed he just actually went, yeah, whatever that is.
Over and over again.
Yeah. So the FDA is starting to hammer the morons who are taking ivermectin. Is that the pronunciation of the horse dewormer?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Is it again? What did you say? Invermectum?
Invermectum. And okay. it's for parasites in livestock, including sheep, which is interesting. Cows, horses, sheep. And it also eliminates various parasites. Worms, it's a dewormer, but it kills other beasties they pick up.
At least 70% of the recent calls to poison control have been related to ingestion of livestock or animal formulations of ivermectin. Purchased at livestock supply centers. So we're terrified of the vaccine because we're afraid it's going to give us a heart attack or turn us into a mutant, as Alex Jones says.
Right, but we'll take the horse dewormer. Yeah, yeah,
exactly.
And people, especially in rural areas, are going to their local feed store and picking up this stuff. Feed stores, bless their hearts, have put up signs on the shelves and on their front doors warning people this is not for human consumption.
Yeah.
I also have seen photographs of empty shelves where the ivermectin has been bought up.
Mm-hmm. And I think Marjorie Taylor Greene actually believes she's a horse, so maybe she's taking it too.
Why? Sorry. Why the long face, Marjorie?
Jesus. So meanwhile, the lieutenant governor of Hawaii, who's also a doctor,
right,
says he's been screamed at by patients being admitted for COVID because he's not prescribing ivermectin, because he's refusing to prescribe the horse dewormer. This is in Hawaii. Didn't this original story come out from Mississippi? I think it was people in Mississippi are poisoning themselves. And now it's even in Hawaii, where people in Hawaii, obviously Hawaii has its own share of red hats, and they believe that they should be prescribed ivermectin after they've been admitted to the hospital for COVID. And the lieutenant governor's like, where did this come from?
This is probably where it came. Probably came from Alex Jones.
Because I swear to God, it's probably one of these conveyors of bro science that either has a podcast or a radio show. Who's saying, yes, I've talked to some guys, I have some friends who do all the research.
Speaking of doctors getting yelled at, I've seen posts from doctors saying they've had patients and family yell at them and say that they hope they die when their relative in the hospital is dying of COVID.
Yeah.
People are still begging for the vaccines once it's far too late.
Yeah.
Some people are going to their deaths. I read about a gentleman who refused the vaccine, but once hospitalized, refused all COVID-fighting medicines. He wouldn't take the monoclonal antibodies, wouldn't take the Regeneron, he wouldn't take anything, and he believed that as he died. His opinion never changed, even in death.
That's what I think about in terms of Phil Valentine. Like, as Phil Valentine is dying, what's he think? What's going through his head? What's he saying to the people around him?
I hope I get Corpse of the Week.
I hope Bob and Buzz make fun of me on their show.
All right.
No, this is not the case. We're not making fun of Phil Valentine. In fact, I pity Phil Valentine. I pity Phil Valentine for not only being a sucker himself, but also turning his listeners into suckers as well. He's just another stepping stone in this ongoing factory of bullshit in this country.
We're getting about one such death a week. We'll just wait and see who next week's corpse is.
Yeah. Ungoddamn believable. By the way, I meant to mention here in the context of Alex Jones, an InfoWars host, an actual guy on Alex Jones's network of weirdos, has been charged in connection with the January 6th riots at the Capitol. Feds say he went into a restricted area outside the grounds. And I'm looking here at the criminal complaint. So, it reaches all the way to Alex Jones's front doorstep. And it should involve Alex Jones by all rights. I mean, we're going after people. Alex Jones was one of the spearheads of this entire effort to invade Congress. He talks about how he coordinated with the White House, for God's sake.
The insurrection is the insurrection, and witness the guy with the bomb outside the Library of Congress. The insurrection isn't over yet.
Right.
But neither is the effort to chase them down.
That's right. That's right. We're still seeing Proud Boys. Charlie Pierce wrote an excellent piece in his blog about how street violence cannot be a part of a successful republic. And we need to figure out a way to just calm the temperature, ease people back into some sort of semblance of, you know, politics is supposed to be about a debate of words. We're not supposed to beat someone over the head with a baseball bat wrapped in barbed wire for politics. Politics is not supposed to be a blood sport. Where words don't matter. It's whoever has the bigger club, whoever has the bigger gun. That's not politics. That's something
else.
But
at the same time, when they show up with a gun and all we have is a knife, that's not good either. So, we want to pursue a policy of peace, but the fight continues.
Absolutely, yeah. And the show continues on our post-mortem show on our Patreon page, patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. When this music is done playing, we're going to keep on talking. Don't miss out. Patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. See you over there, folks. Bye-bye.